Good morning, and thank you for dialing into this morning's North River conference call. My name is Susie Gellier, and I look after North River's investor relations. This is the first of what we hope to be regular shareholder conference calls, providing private investors with regular access to the board and management of North River. This is one of several investor relations initiatives which we are introducing over the coming months. I will pass over to North River's new Managing Director, James Beams, and Senior Independent Director, Brett Richards, shortly. Before I formally hand over, if you have any questions during the course of the call, please look at the right-hand side of your screen and type your question into the chat function. We will endeavour to answer as many questions as possible within the time constraints of the call. So without further delay, I will hand over to James and Brett.
Thank you, Susie. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I'm very pleased to have my first opportunity to speak with shareholders after 2 months in the seat. And I think the structure we planned for this morning is that I will talk us through the presentation that I put onto the website earlier this month. Exactly the same presentation, but what I'll try and do is give a lot more detail and colour as to what we've been busy doing, the focus of my attention in the last 2 months, and I guess broadly, as we transition this company from a pure explorer to a developer of a project. So without further ado, I'll dive into the presentation, which I hope that you all have on the screens in front of you. So on slide two, North River overview. Look, I'm not going to talk to every bullet point, and I imagine shareholders have seen the presentation before. I'm rather just using it as a structure, and more specifically to give an update on where we are, and I guess my thinking as what our priorities as a company are at the moment. I guess my first message is that our business strategy for North River remains absolutely consistent with what we've communicated over the last year or so. The focus of North River remains very much on the development of the NUMMID project. And in fact, it's this broader business strategy and the NUMMID project that we have as the first step is what attracted me to the company. It's a great project. The DFS came out in December last year, very robust economics in a very mining-friendly jurisdiction, essentially a brownfield reopening of a mine. Low technical risk and low capital cost and operating cost as long as we get all of that right. I think that first step is very exciting and what makes me excited and I hope to share I guess some of the steps and some of the hard work that's been carried out behind the scenes in recent months. The first thing, I guess, is that we came out with a DFS at the end of last year. That did not mean at the time that we were ready to go into construction immediately. There's a lot of work. Again, as we transition from Explorer to putting a management team in place, building on that definitive feasibility study into more detailed project execution planning, and indeed the board in reviewing that feasibility study requested some optimization work on the plant and some more detail upfront mine development planning. And I'll talk a little bit more to those points in a minute. And also on the slide, we mentioned mining licenses and exploration, but again, I'll go into those on later slides. Back on the 20th of December, we made a few announcements. First of all, in relation to the board, we announced two new non-executive directors, Keith Marshall and Ken Sangster. Very strong mining technical addition to our board. And so together with that, with the two of them, we now have six members on the board. Mr. Herr, who is the representative of CGNPC, is the chairman. We've had a few questions on Mr. Ho's role as chairman, and we will happily address those. With Keith and Ken coming in on underground mining expertise and metallurgy or metallurgical expertise in the case of Ken, we have Brett and Mark Thompson, a further two independent non-executive directors, and then Mark Sawyer making up the sixth position. So I believe we have a very strong and effective board, and even in my short time with the company, I am very pleased to say that it is an absolutely committed, aligned, and supportive board in my role as I try and push the day-to-day forward, particularly on getting the Namib project ready for execution. On the management team, one of the key parts of the transition to becoming a developer of a project is putting the right management team in place, and it has occupied a fair amount of my time over the last 2 months. First of all, I was very pleased that this, on the same day my position was announced, Andrew Little, accepted to be project director. And importantly, he has already moved to Namibia and is now residing in Swakopmund, just down the road from our project. Just having that leadership and presence on at site is a huge step forward in that project readiness that I was talking about. Also, beneath Andy, we've put in a plant manager and a senior mining engineer. And I guess that sort of triumvirate of leadership at site now just gives us a much more solid footing to take the project into a position that I can take it to the board for final investment approval on the back of the mining license, which we hope will be forthcoming shortly. I suppose the only other thing to mention on building up management team, I have to strike the balance between getting the company in a position to start building a project, but also keeping the running costs and the budget tight as possible for as long as I don't know exactly when we'll get the mining license and therefore when we'll be in a position to take the project forward. So it's all about striking that balance, but hopefully with those positions that I mentioned, we'll be able to move quickly when we are project ready and on the back of the mining license. Moving to the next slide, the current status. Communicated, I guess, in the presentation at the time, was just summarizing the feasibility study. As I alluded to, post the feasibility study and in discussion with the board, we have been working very intensely on a few different areas, and I'll come back to some of them in a bit more detail, but optimizing the plant flow sheet, as robust as the feasibility study was, the board felt that it warranted, and with Ken Sangster coming onto the board, just having some fresh eyes look at it to make sure that we've got the most robust technical solution to processing this ore that we possibly can. Also, the mine development program, the critical path, and I'll come back to it on the next slide, the critical path of this project is mine development. We need to make sure that we've got enough faces open in this mine by the time we commission the plant. And so, do all we can at the up front now to prepare the mine in the timeline that we anticipate. And also just, really basic stuff. As we start building up a team, as we start becoming bigger and more structured, as we start spending, or in anticipation of spending more money, it's just putting all of the basic corporate governance and project and processes and procedures in place. And that goes from hiring people to approving money, levels of authorization through the organization, and just flows of communication, et cetera, internally and up through to the board. Onto the next slide. And I guess just touching again on the optimization work, I said at the time to finish this by the end of the first quarter, which gives me until tomorrow. It's been going really well, doing some additional metallurgical testing on this ore body, and some really good progress has been made. But we've decided to run a few more tests, which will take another month or so, and it's very pleasing that I think what we're coming up with. On the plant, no fundamental changes, so it doesn't undermine in any way the feasibility study that we've, or indeed those robust economics that we've already announced. But hopefully a more robust solution to grinding and milling through a lead circuit than zinc circuit for this particular ore body. So a more bespoke solution, I think, is what I'm very pleased to see what's emerging from that test work. I'm equally on the mine development side. Keith Marshall has been on site as the non-exec, so they really are contributing enormously already on the technical front. Our new technical non-executive directors, and I think we're making a very strong headway on both of those fronts. The other general point to make is that I think this work that we're doing now is just so critical for any project. This is where we have to get things right, where we have to have the confidence that what we're going to build and how we're going to build it and the timeline and the budget that we plan to build it in is achievable, and we've got the right team in place to deliver on that. So I think this planning work that we're doing now should pay huge dividends as we go into construction. If we can go back. I'm spending a bit of time on the slide, but before, just to go back to... The timeline at the bottom of that, just to talk to that briefly. Obviously, a key point in our timeline is the receipt of the mining license. We've had both in the lead up to this call and also just generally, I've had a number of questions come through around the mining license. When are we going to get it? Is it delayed? Might we not get it? Is there a problem with it? All I can say, and and we as a company have had ongoing interaction and a very good relations with the mining ministry. I have absolutely no reason to believe we will not get the mining license. It is a process of the government and we have to respect their process. So I cannot say when we will get it. What I can say though is that the ministry has communicated more than once that they have all the information from us that we need. I have also more than once and keep emphasizing that, we are at their disposal to help in whatever way we can to facilitate their assessment of our application. I think one important point that links back to what I was saying to the previous slide and a minute ago, and that is, part of this mining, or the assessment of our application for a mining license in Namibia, as with any other country, is their assessment of us having a seriousness of intent to proceed and build this mine. And so they are looking at North River, looking at us, and looking at at the quality of our board. They're looking at the quality of our management team that we are building up. They're looking at the quality of work that's been done over the last few years by teams before I arrived in proving up the resource that we have, in cleaning up the mine from the old workings previously. And I think all of that stuff that we both achieved over the last couple of years and also what we're working intensely on at the moment, I think should stand us in really good stead as the ministry assesses our application. beyond the mining license and indeed completion of our optimization work that I was talking to and just mine development planning readiness, we will need a ramp up, which I've indicated on that Gantt chart. And then beyond that ramp up, very much in or exactly in line with the feasibility study, we should have in round numbers about a year of construction before we commission the plant. And as I said before, it's all around the mine development and making sure that we've got enough faces, all faces open to us underground at the time we commission the plant. And so a lot of our deliberations over the next short while are going to be making sure that we have confidence in that timeline that's at the bottom of that slide. Okay. The next two slides talk to resource and exploration. I guess very quickly on this first one, and I'll spend a bit more time on the second. On the first one, it's just summarizing the 1.25 million ton resource that that we have at the moment. 585,000 tons of that classified as reserve, enough for an initial 3.5 year mine life. And just looking at that slide, and shareholders may be very familiar with some of this, but just to share briefly, you can see just visually looking at the colours that we have. While we have some resource below the old workings in the south, which is to the right hand side of this cross section, the bulk of the resource that we will be mining in this initial mine life is to the north. And that again comes back to the mine development work that's on that critical path, which includes the development of a decline, which you can just see the beginnings of over to the left into the northern ore body. So that's going to be a key part of that upfront development work. I'd like to spend a bit more time on the next slide, actually, which talks to the upside potential of the resource. And so it's exactly the same, but just to a different scale, this time going down to about 700 meters. And what we know about this resource is that as we've done some drilling in the south from access that we have from the old workings, we know that the ore body continues at depth in the south. And indeed, the latest drill results that we put out in January with some very positive grades, a lot of that was a discovery of a new ore body in that southern section. So we have high confidence that the mineralization continues at depth, and indeed, under my predecessor Martin French, they did an EM survey, electromagnetic survey, last year. And those colourful blocks, the EM plates as they are called, indicates, as you can see there, a mineralisation, a continuation of the mineralisation profile down to about 700 metres. Now that doesn't indicate zinc or lead, but it indicates a continuation at least of the iron profile. So that gives us confidence that there's potential at depth. Now that's all to the south. To the north, and this is where, you know, I think it's really exciting. The next big step up or potential step up in resource for Namib is in that void on the left-hand side of the slide. All of the drilling that we've done to date has been from surface in the north and down to about 150 meters, which has proved up the resource that we've got today that you can see there. And that's why, you know, when we talk about aggressively pushing forward with an exploration program, what I mean by that, just to give it a bit more context, is it's essentially in two phases, is to push out that exploration drive, which is the horizontal line one can see going out at around 150 meters to the north. I've got to complete that progress on that drive was much slower last year than anticipated, and so we're bringing in a new piece of equipment, a loader, and also an in-house a strong mining team, small mining team to focus with high priority on that development of that drive. And it is with once we've done or essentially sort of meaningfully progressed the development of that drive at level five, then we can much more expeditiously in the second half of this year drill at depth in the north. And that's where I think we will get a much better sense of what's in that as I described as a void in the bottom half of that slide. So I think that's very exciting, but there is a sequence to it. I've got to do the development work, and then we can get into the drilling in the second half of the year. And so again, some questions have come in around, you know, when are we going to update the resource? Just following through on that timing, it's going to be towards or around the end of this year before we get out a meaningful resource. But believe me, the work is planned and is high priority in parallel with the development of the project itself. Now some of the rest of these slides I'll flick through quite quickly, so to leave time for questions. But and without going into any detail or much detail on this proposed project is essentially just sort of key sort of profile points pulled out of the feasibility study. But the key message I'd like to share this morning is just what we're trying to build here is the philosophy we're trying to follow in building this project is one of simplicity. Keep it simple. So, you know, mining methods, we'll use long-hole open stoping for the larger ore bodies. We'll use shrink stoping for the smaller, more irregular ore bodies. Some of these ore bodies, they're all sort of individual modules, if you like, and require some more detailed mining. And so we'll use a mix of those processes. Simple trackless haulage and trucks, so low-profile loaders. No high-tech machinery. We'll make sure that everything we put on site is serviceable from down the road at Swakopmund and Walvis Bay. And so it's all about keeping it simple and fit for purpose for the size project. Safety, arguably, in our industry, I should talk to this first rather than in the middle of a presentation. But very strong message from me, at least, both to our shareholders and to my board, and indeed for the whole team. Safety is our number one priority. If we don't get safety right, we won't have a long-term license to operate the mine in Namibia. We have to make sure. I have to make sure that we, as we ramp up in numbers of people, that we do all the right things to ensure that we have a zero harm culture and environment for everyone we employ. That said, very pleased to say, as the slide says there, that we had zero injuries, lost time injuries in the whole of last year. But the real challenge is to come as we ramp up to, you know, in round numbers, 200 people working on the mine and plant. The next slide, preparation. The purpose for putting this in the slide is, again, just one of simplicity and building fit for purpose. This is just the rail line going past the mine site. On one side, you can see we've put some simple offices in place and a medical facility, and we're building a workshop ahead of having mining equipment come to site. A favorable location. I think everyone appreciates that part of the big upside of this project is its location. You know, just 28 kilometers inland from Swakopmund, so all of our people will live down the road, very easy access to site every day. We've got power and water going right past the site on their way up to Rossing and Husab mines, the big uranium operations, and indeed road and rail as well. So one could not hardly wish for a better location, and indeed in a very mining-friendly jurisdiction, as I said earlier. The next slide is just a little bit more on that water and power infrastructure, so I won't necessarily go into that. And then on the slide 13, the long-term vision for Namibia and indeed North River, and this goes back to, I guess, my opening statement. Namib is a great first step for the company. It is absolutely our focus. It is what gives us credibility as a developer and operator of mines. It will just put us in a much better position to do a second a project or second transaction. We'd just be in a much better position from which to do more meaningful exploration in the region, much greater credibility with the authorities in Namibia, because we've already proved once that we are serious about being long-term participants in the industry in their country. So I think we have this long-term vision about growing the company, and that's all well and good, but we have to do this first step right, and hopefully I'm giving a bit of a flavour for the efforts we're putting into that at the moment. On the next slide, this slide essentially I think summarizes what I've covered already. Maybe what I can do instead is just talk generally to financing, and for the project. We've had a number of questions around that general topic as well. In line with the feasibility study, the total capex is around $27-28 million over the life of the project. The upfront capital cost, I guess, to take us through to the point of commissioning is around $25 million, and the financing for that, the quantum and optimal structure for that, is still being reviewed. We are looking at putting some debt project financing or equivalent type structure in place, and have been engaging with a number of possible institutions, and have received favorable proposals, and we look to take those forward in due course. Difficult to talk in any more detail to that right now. And that's me. So I've raced through it, hopefully to leave some time for questions. But there is one more slide at the back, which was as an appendix to this presentation. And this is just on also because we've had some questions on broader exploration strategy or programs. And, again, in the context of our business strategy, I have to have a look at the prospectivity and the value of these to North River, and also put them into the sequence of that strategy. So the priority right now is Namib and growing that resource of the Namib resource. I guess that's the priority in terms of management. That's the priority in terms of capital allocation. But nonetheless, we are doing soil sampling of these other concessions that we own, so I can get a better understanding of the prospectivity of each of them. And then in due course, and the timing will then fit better or fit well with hopefully the development of Namib by then. With a more targeted exploration program, depending on the outcome of some of this work that we're undertaking now from the surface. I think that's all from me, and then we'll take questions.
Okay, thanks, James. It's Brett here. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the call. We are going to kind of segue into questions now. We've got over 30 people on the call, and we've got quite a queue of questions. Both ones we previously received and some that are on the call right now. So we're going to walk through them, both James and I collectively, over the course of the next 20 or 30 minutes, and we're going to try and answer as much as we can. I will say, though, kind of going forward, we will have proper protocol in place, and that will be through our website. If people have questions about the project, they have questions about the company, or questions generally, they will be directed to our website to formulate all those questions rather than any direct contact with either the board or with management. We need to dovetail this into our overall investor relations strategy with consistent messaging and accurate messaging as we go forward through this project. So we'll start and go through the questions now, and I'll let James speak to the first one.
Thank you, Brett. First question we've got is, and this is in no particular order, but why has the company not adopted the QCA corporate governance code? And we have, in fact, adopted the QCA code. What I see from our website is that we haven't been clear in the wording on that, and so I'll make sure that is updated and is better explained. The next one, does the company have a senior independent director? If so, who is he, and when was he appointed? Brett is the senior independent director. I think simple. Brett?
Thanks. I was appointed as the senior independent director last year by the board, and continue to act in that capacity and act as the interim or deputy chairman when called upon as per the QCA corporate governance code. Next question I'll respond to is why the CEO, I assume they mean the managing director, is not also on the board given the small size of the company and the seniority of his background. It's a good question, and I think how I would like to frame it is this. North River has gone through a substantial change in 2013 from being on the brink of basically insolvency and administration to rallying the company back to life and getting the company financed, getting the project back online. We're doing some further work, but there's been a lot of momentum both in 2013 throughout 2014 to where we are today. We had Martin French, who was the managing director of North River, lead that cause and did an admirable job in basically saving the company, restructuring the board, putting together the strategy and the plan, and at which time, you know, turned the company over to others, the board and James, to take to the next level. And that next level is going from early stage, mid-stage developer to potentially constructor and producer. And those take different skill sets. They take different people. And Martin was aware of that. And as such, we moved through the next phase of our development. We brought James on board. And James has a very strong background, both in finance, business development, in base metals and senior mining. And we thought, and he was also consulting for us at the time, and we thought it was a great fit to bring him on as the managing director. James is the managing director. He's the chief executive of the company and looks after all of the day-to-day functions of the company. Everybody in the organization reports to him below the managing director. James is not on the board currently. However, it's our full intention to bring him on the board, but as a board, our duty and our responsibility to do adequate and professional succession planning is to give James a chance. And throughout the course of this year and getting our mining license and getting this project up through construction and into production, we will assess his ability and assess his performance to those criteria and make a decision in the future. But it is our intention to bring him onto the board. And we are also in discussions for a chief financial officer or a finance director, depending on the titles that we like to use. I'm Canadian by background. Chief executive officer is the typical titles, and chief financial officer. But I appreciate in this part of the world they tend to be managing director and finance director. So we are in discussions with a person to complement our team and look forward to a positive announcement in the coming weeks in that regard. So James is has time to prove himself to the board, and when he has proven himself to the board, we will consider him for a director seat. The next question is, what is the growth strategy to maximize value to shareholders over the next 12 months? And I think James spoke to that in some detail, but I think make it in no uncertain terms, our strategy is to build a business and to build a company. We're not interested in pumping this company up for a month or 2 months or 3 months. We are building sustainable growth and sustainable share value to our shareholders, and we're only going to do that by delivering and executing on the strategy we've set forth for ourselves. The first piece of that strategy, as James alluded to, is getting our mining license and getting the Nimiq project through construction and into production. Where we go from there and how we build a better business will be defined in the coming months. However, it is our full intention to not rely on one project to be a company maker. We are relying on both this company to be our flagship and our initial project, where we can demonstrate to both the Namibian government and other governments in and around Africa that we have the ability to take projects through to construction. We have the ability to take them through to cash flow, and we want to continue to repeat that process multiple times. So we have a strong board of strong individuals with extensive mining experience and extensive business experience. We have a strong management team with extensive mining and business experience as well. And those two things will complement our ability to convince both the Namibian government that we are serious, that we will get our mining license, and that we will develop this project, and we will abate their concerns that we will be given a mining license and we'll sell the project. That is not our intention. Our intention is to build a platform, and the platform starts with Namib as the boilerplate. Next question is, what are the investment objectives of Greenstone Resources, and are these in conflict with the investment objectives of the remaining 70% of the shareholders? It's for me, this is an inappropriate question. It's not for me to speak to Greenstone Resources, what their strategy is, what their investment objectives are. We have not only a strong board and a strong management, we have good partners. And our partner in Greenstone Resources bringing the first tranches of equity to this will complement our next financing and our next fundraisings, whether they are in equity and debt and offtake. We will be putting together a financial strategy to finance this project over the coming month or two. Once we get our mining license, we will be positioned to press the button, and we'll be taking the project forward. But we still have a lot of work to do in this area, and let's face it, you know, we've gone through a transition. James has been in the chair for a couple of months. We have we've done a lot of work in the last couple of months in optimizing the DFS that was presented to the board in December. There was still a lot of test work that had to be done. There was metallurgical test work. There was a lot of mining work that needed to be done. And really what that is to, you know, optimize the recoveries and optimize the value of this project and also de-risk the execution of the construction. We don't have the ability to have a 6 or 8 month commissioning period. We have to get this right. It has to be right from the beginning, and we have to come out of the blocks, and we have to do this in a very timely way. So we're spending the time now to not make mistakes when it actually happens. The next question is the board in regular communication with non-Greenstone shareholders and fully appraised as their investment objectives? Again, it's not really an appropriate question. We communicate, James communicates as the managing director of this company with all shareholders. He communicates to the market, and he communicates to everyone. If there are specific questions, we don't provide selective disclosure to individual shareholders. We try and keep everyone up to speed as to what we're doing. We try and keep the market with us, but you know, we've known for all along that the mining license was going to be a challenge for us. We knew it was probably going to be April or May, could possibly be June or July. So we've had to take steps as a board and as a company to deal with that. We plan for the worst and we hope for the best. And in the meantime, we come up with strategies to try and bring that hope into reality insofar as we have discussions and complete openness and transparency with the government of Namibia. And we are continuing to push to get our mining license. But all of those communications and all that work that's been done, and it's all been compressed in the last few months, including the additional test work, including the additional work that's been done on the mine planning, has been done in a very short period of time. Some of our shareholders and our minority shareholders were concerned that we just simply haven't communicated with the market. In actual fact, we have communicated with the market. There's simply very little material information to have communicated with the market in the last 3 months, because not a whole lot has changed between December and now relative to the status of the project. We are waiting for the mining license. We are pushing hard. We are liaising with the government. We are trying to get them to be convinced that we are not going to run away and that we are going to develop this project. And that is more relationship-based and trust than it is about ticking boxes.
Yep. What is the investor relations presentation and general promotion schedule of the company in 2015? We're busy working on an investor relations strategy, which myself, together with the board, we will be working on over the next few weeks. And I guess Brett has already alluded to, and so did Susie at the front of the call, alluded to a more structured and regular set of avenues of communication between the company and all shareholders, both by means of calls like this, better use of our website, and as appropriate, putting out RNSs when we have proper news to report. But I would add, I guess, to Brett's words as well, is as we and I can feel it, as we're moving into this development stage, the type of news flow is changing. You know, it's a lot of it is on-site work, and it doesn't amount to material new news.
Next question is, are the directors intending to award themselves stock options? If so, we believe this should be put to a shareholder vote as to its appropriateness. It's not something we have a view on right now. The directors are remunerated appropriately under kind of normal and common industry standards. We disclose that in our filings. It's available to our shareholders. There's no plans to develop a stock option plan for directors. However, we will remunerate our people, both directors and our employees, in the most effective and efficient way possible, keeping to industry standards that are, you know, that are commensurate to our peers and to AIM regulations. So it's a vague answer, but today there are no plans to put something in place. We need to deliver value to our existing shareholders, and we need to do and execute on this project correctly. I'm a shareholder in this company, and quite frankly, I'm quite happy being a shareholder in this company. I'm quite excited about the future of this, and if I want to to buy more stock, I will buy more stock. However, there's no plan for us to incentivize ourselves with stock options at this time. Next question, what steps have the board of directors collectively put in place to avoid the dominance by the vested interests of one shareholder, e.g. Greenstone Resources, over the interests of other shareholders? There's a lot of duplication coming through these questions, and I need to calibrate things appropriately. About 70% of the questions I see here are all related to either Greenstone or corporate governance in one way, and it's important, and we'll answer all these questions. However, the project is the focus here. The NMID project, getting our mining license, getting our financing package together, getting this started, getting people working on the ground and getting this through to production is going to create long-term sustainable value for our shareholders. And that long-term sustainable value will be leveraged in our ability to build on a bigger platform. So what have we put in place? There's no dominance of any one shareholder in our company. We report to all our shareholders collectively. However, one of our shareholders does have a board position, and that board position is no stronger or no weaker than any of the other non-executive directors on our board currently. Next question, what steps do the board of directors collectively intend to take to exercise their fiduciary duty to promote the company and the share price of the company? Well, I think you've heard today that we are adopting a investor relations strategy over the next couple of months as we get out into the market and start to discuss our financing and start to discuss how we're going to finance this project and the timing of such. I think we all, as independent and non-executive directors, we continue to talk up and talk about the excitement of this company every day. However, having a formal and sophisticated investor relations strategy, we're working on it. And we will be out in the market, and we will be out doing the normal speeches, the conferences, and road shows and investor updates on a regular basis, as we will have regular calls with a frequency to be determined of this type of nature. We want to be open and transparent with our shareholders and the market generally, and we want to be able to have everybody's questions answered in a proper and appropriate way.
I think we've already answered that one.
I think so. The next question was more directed at me, and I think it's not one I'm required to answer, but in the interest of transparency, I think I want to. And the question is, why was Mr. Richards' entry in the About Us section of the company's website updated recently without explanation? We had a couple of shareholders contact the company with regards to my bio and why my bio was recently changed. And it's quite simple. I am a senior mining executive, and I work for a company called REI. And I'm seconded to several companies. And one of the companies I happen to be seconded to and act in the capacity of the CEO for is BSG Resources. And although I do not sit on any boards of BSG and BSG subsidiaries, Octea Limited, which I am also acting as the CEO, I sit on the Octea boards ex officio. I'm not appointed to those boards. I sit on them much as James is an ex officio director to North River. He gets asked to sit on these boards because he has intimate knowledge of the business. I also consult for two other companies, and so it's not. I don't sit on the boards of those companies either. So it was decided that we would disclose this information because it was apparent to some of our shareholders that it was important. So I was happy to disclose it. I'm not obligated to under the AIM rules or under the QCA corporate governance code, but we thought it was best that I would do it. So that was why the change was made. And, I'm happy to have a discussion with anybody or put any of the companies I consult with on, but we just don't think it's necessary and we just don't think it is required. Next question, who is the legal head of North River Resources? The board of directors of North River Resources run and control this company, and I think everyone needs to understand that. However, the legal head and the managing director of this company is James Beams, and he has the decision-making authority for the company. He has decision-making limits and decision-making approvals that have to be approved by the board, but it's a functioning structure that we have a managing director reporting up to a board with autonomy and openness and transparency. Next question, who on the board has any experience successfully growing and promoting public junior mining companies? A very good question. I like to take the view of this. There are certainly a couple of guys who have experience in growing and promoting public companies. I was the CEO of a AIM-listed junior mining company. I was the CEO of a TSX venture mining company. Mark Thompson is currently the CEO of a junior mining company. So we have experience promoting junior mining companies. However, we also have experience in senior mining companies, including our managing director, James Beams. I think everyone on the board has big company experience as well. And I take the view that in order to know where you're going, it makes it much more helpful to have already been there. So I stated earlier about building a platform of Namibia, of something larger, something much beyond the Namib mine, and something larger where we can build into something. You have five or six board members and a management team who have been there and know what that type of company looks like and knows how to build a company of that nature. So I think those two complementary attributes of both those who have had junior mining experience directly and those who have had senior mining experience directly will serve the company very well. Next question, are there any proposals for removing Mr. Herr as the current independent chairman of the board? If so, with whom? Currently, Mr. Herr is the chairman of North River Resources. He is also the senior executive of China Guangdong Nuclear Corporation. And as an aside, transactionally, North River was connected to Kalahari Minerals, and through a series of transactions, Mr. Herr ended up having a board seat and became the chairman as a result of an acquisition for another company. He currently sits on as chairman. There is no intentions of making any changes at this time. However, we do review those things as a board, as a corporate governance committee of the board. We review those things to make sure that there is a functioning board and a functioning chairman. And although Mr. Herr has some difficulty making meetings because he lives in China and he needs an interpreter, we do have a backstop to that, and that is me as the interim chairman when he is not available. So it's currently functioning well as a board. However, you know, it's not to say that we won't consider changes going forward, but there's no changes contemplated or being prepared for at this time. Moving on to some project questions that have come in, I'll turn us over to James.
This is around drilling and resource updates. I think I've more or less I've addressed some of this stuff generally, but I'll just read the questions. How many meters have been drilled since the aggressive drill plan announced in January? In my mind, the issue here is we are still doing some drilling. But the real issue is doing that development work on the over to the north, and then the real drilling meters can advance much more effectively, cost effectively, time effectively in the second half of this year. So to me, when I use the word aggressive, it's that first step is getting the development done, which will give me access to do the drilling.
Thanks, James. Next question is, will shareholders be able to be informed of performance targets and achievements in relation to these areas? And I think we've answered this, but I need to reinforce. When we get our mining license and when we're ready to review and adopt and approve the project for construction as a board, we will do that. And we will communicate that to the market. With those various project timelines, there will be performance targets and achievements throughout the construction period that we will update the market on a very regular basis. Along with that, we will dovetailing to that will be an investor relations strategy where James and a potential CFO or sometimes just James will go out into the market and go out to institutional shareholders and to smaller home offices. And he will market the company and update the market more directly and more precisely. But the message is, yes, we will be communicating performance targets and achievements throughout the project period. And yes, we'll be doing that as part of our investor relations strategy that we'll be rolling out in the next couple of months and post us receiving our mining license. There's still a number of questions about why is the stock not being promoted? Does the company not have a fiduciary duty to do this? You know, where can the shareholder find the terms and conditions of the Greenstone agreements, et cetera? You know, I think these are all questions that, you know, Greenstone are our partner. They brought capital to the table. They continue to be a very positive partner, and we have a very good relationship with them. At the company level and at the board level, and they've been They've been, it was a very positive, it's a very positive relationship. So I think there's a lot of skepticism about what their intentions are or about what their investment hurdles are, et cetera. I think if anybody has questions for Greenstone, they can contact them directly. If anybody has questions for us, they will be able to contact us through our website. But it's just simply not appropriate for me as a board member or James as the managing director to speak about or comment on one of our shareholders, just as if we wouldn't comment on any other of our individual shareholders. The next question, and we've got time for two more questions here. How is the hunt for new acquisitions going, and what is the strategy? I think we've heard today that the overlying strategy for North River Resources is first to focus on the Namib mine, get this mining license, get it through construction and into production, and in parallel to doing that, start and look for other business opportunities that we can leverage ourselves and our paper and our performance of our share price into looking at other opportunities. We are doing that currently. We will be doing that as time goes on, but the fulcrum to this will be the mining license. We need to have it. The sooner we get it, the better, and it will allow us to start and execute on other strategic things that are in our pipe, in our portfolio.
And Brett, I would just add to that that Dominic Claridge, who's been with the company for a couple of years, was formally appointed as head of business development on the 20th of January as well. So we in our structure, we are building a formal capability around looking for those next steps beyond Namib.
And the question that just came in that I will it adds to that. Is there not a danger of waiting too long to make acquisitions should the sector start to recover? And I think it's a very good question. And I, you know, we all would like to buy at the bottom and leverage it and move forward as the cycle does recover. But we're in a bit of a position right now whereby there's not a lot that we can do strategically in growing the company until we can be sure that we are getting our mining license. We review this every week. We review it every month as a board, and we continue to pressurize the government to convince them that we are here to stay. We are here to build a project and get it through construction and into production. And when we do that and when we are able to demonstrate that, we will be in a better position to make acquisitions. I'm not of the view this market's going to recover anytime soon, whether it be in precious metals, base metals, bulks. You know, we're in a long slump. We've been in a long slump in the mining sector generally, and I'm exposed to all of those commodities and some of the roles I'm in, and we simply are going to be in this a bit of a doldrum in the mining sector for some time to come. So the sector may recover. The lead, zinc, the base metal market may recover sooner, and I hope it does. But it's not for us to speculate when it does. We have to do things with what we know. And what we know is we have a company, we have a project, we have a great future and exciting prospects. We will move it forward. And when strategically time is that we can pull the trigger on growing the business and building on that platform, we will do so. And we will communicate it to the market appropriately and keep everybody with us at the same time and same speed as we're growing. We don't want to get the market ahead of us. We don't want to get the market behind us. We want to keep the market with us at all times.
Okay, that's all we've got time for now. So thank you very much for your time this morning, and apologies if we didn't cover all of the questions. If you have any further concerns or feedback, please do contact me, Susie Gellier, on 0207-236-1177, or please contact us through the website. Thank you again, and I look forward to our next scheduled call in 2015.
Yeah, and thank you, Susie, and from myself, thank you all for joining us. Thanks for making the time. It's your interest is important to us, and I look forward to the journey together. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And thank you all from Brett. Have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining today's conference call. You may now replace your handsets. Thank you.